I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Where's Adam?
Anybody know? Where is Adam? Where is Adam?
Good. Welcome back to the Front Three. It's Saturday and therefore it's Q&A time. Oh, wait a minute. Why am I talking, Dave?
I don't know. We seem to have lost Adam Boltwood. If anyone could, you know, if anyone finds him wandering the streets of London, if they could, you know, send him back to us, that'd be absolutely fantastic.
In a drunken stupor somewhere. He's taken a weed again, Dave. A whole weed. And I'm sure he's fine. I don't want anyone to think he is being irresponsible. But he definitely is. Adam, if you're out there, just reply. We just want to know you're safe, son. But it's Q&A day, and that means that it's Q&A day for the weekend, because there's only the front two now, Dave. Which makes us kind of a striking combination. Do you want me to be the big man? Do you want to run off, or how do you want to do it?
Yeah, if that'll be all right. You could hold the ball up, and I'll just look to get in behind, mate.
I'm not sure I've got the strength for that. We might be a better back two. Maybe this week it should be the back two.
That sounds good to me, mate. I reckon we'd be decent.
Oh, Dave, I got it. We can be a double pivot in midfield.
Oh, there we go. You'll be Xabi Alonso and I'll be Paul Scholes. We'll just run the show.
Do you know what? That would actually be a really good midfield combination.
It'd be disgusting.
Have metronome style and Xabi Alonso's ability with the ball, and both of them have kind of a good mix.
Mm. Both could play, you know, similar roles, getting into the penalty area, defending the own penalty area. That'd be great.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of questions for us today, Dave. We tweeted out yesterday and then didn't work out, so we're doing it on Saturday morning. And the first I want to put this out there. The first great comment of the week was Tension, who's at Saladura, I want to say. He says, my attempt at writing the front three on a cake. And he's written it. I don't think it's a very big cake. I think it's one of the fairy cakes. But it is still a good cake. We've retweeted that. Go see that in our timeline. If someone tries to make a cake for you, I think that's pretty good, Dave.
That is pretty cool, you know. I think, though, it's a cookie, Lawrence. I don't want to offend Tension.
Oh, he did say cookie. Yeah, you're right. I just didn't know.
The little details, the minor details, but no, it looks absolutely smashing.
First proper question of the week comes from Dayson 1996. I hope that wasn't the year you were born. Otherwise, you'd be 20 now. God, what I would! I loved being 20. I'm 21 now. Who's your favourite manager of all time? He says, Adam. Mauricio Pochettino. Dave. What about you?
Well, I'm going to go with the obvious choice of Sir Alex Ferguson, the absolute phenom. 26 years in charge, all those trophies.
Isn't he the most successful European manager of all time?
Yes, he is. Yes, yeah. I definitely say so. Obviously, European foot-wise, he's the only thing that you'd sort of criticise him on. But the longevity of his career, the ability to mix it up, to play different styles and systems, and to evolve. I think that was the best thing that happened to Fergie, was his evolution over his career.
There's a long list of good managers out there. Jock Steen, obviously, another really successful Scotsman. Then there's some kind of European guys I know less about. I was looking up a list. I mean, Walter Smith is apparently a very successful manager. With Rangers, if we're going to go down the success route. But I guess it's all to do with... Dave, you can kind of go on and off the field, can't you? Because you can sort of go... The on-field sort of, you know, Jurgen Klopp, even Sir Alex, even Jose Mourinho, those kind of guys. And then you can go the off-the-field kind of guys who, you know, you can be quiet or, you know, you can be one of those outspoken managers. You can be a witty guy. And I was just looking through what managers are around at the moment, let alone what managers have been around in the past. And you can run off names, and every one of them you go, brilliant. Mourinho, Ferguson, Wenger, Guardiola, Ancelotti, Van Gaal, Benitez, Capello, Hitzfeld, Hiddink, Klopp, I mean, you know, Roberto Ancelotti. Mancini.
Was he in there?
Yeah, I think I said Ancelotti. Diego Simeone. Roberto Di Matteo won a European Cup. Andrea Villas-Boas. Sven-Goran Eriksson.
Crazy stuff with Sven as well. Won the UEFA Cup with Gothenburg.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What a feat. And then had a brilliant Lazio team with Sebastian Veron as the fulcrum of that side. It's just, there's been a lot of good managers. I think Ancelotti as well is a guy that I've, you know, having to criticise in the past, but I sort of, you know, I'm starting to like Ancelotti. I think he's a, you know, seems like a very good guy.
The older a manager gets, the better they become, right? There's obviously a point where people become too old, but, you know, there are a lot of young managers with kind of old heads around. Jurgen Love is around. I want to say Roy Keane was an interesting manager.
An interesting manager. That's the perfect way to put it, I think.
But even there's Conte. You know, there's Kike Sanchez-Flores. I think if he was at a bigger club, we'd be talking in a very different way.
Well, he was at a flat ownership, wasn't he? He won the Europa League or the UEFA Cup.
You know, in England right now. Alan Pardew.
No.
Roberto Martinez.
Yes.
Antonetti.
Allegri.
Allegri. There are so many out there. But my favourite, I don't know, let us know your... Sam Allardyce. Let us know your favourites, guys. we'd be interested. And I said it to you earlier today. Diego Maradona was a manager.
A crazy one at that.
Can you imagine him being a manager? Just what would you... He's definitely one of those inspiration managers. I wonder what he said, sort of tactically. Then there are sort of managers you like tactically as well, though, aren't they? I love those managers who are just tactically so astute. You know, Van Gaal's a good manager, for God's sake. And then obviously there's people like Bill Shankly in Liverpool's past. Marcello Lippi. 25 years since Bill Shankly passed away this year. Very sad for Liverpool fans. And then, of course, the guy who took over from him, who made them even more successful, Bob Paisley, who, when he first took over at Liverpool, said something along the lines of, I'm an amateur jockey riding a Derby horse. He won 3 European Cups in his time at Liverpool, 1 UEFA Cup, and 6 European, 6 league titles in that time. I mean, that's...
What a manager.
And he really was a great manager, you know. But then I'd say that was also... what about, you know, we could take the question even further. What about a team of managers? You know, because some managers aren't anything without their backroom staff. You know what I mean? Like, Liverpool were the boot room at that time. And apparently they would just sit around with a load of wine and talk about stuff and beers and all sorts of things.
It's a good way to relax. But, Lawrence, you haven't given the answer. Who is your favourite manager of all time?
It's going to have to be Bob Paisley, Dave. I like, although it's difficult to say, not to say Bill Shankly, isn't it?
Yes.
Especially as a Liverpool fan, you definitely say Bill Shankly. If you don't know anything about Bill Shankly, go and buy Red or Dead. It's a fantastic book written by the same guy who wrote The Damned United. Amazing. Anyway, we've taken enough of your time talking about managers so far. Dave, tactically, who's your favourite manager?
At the moment?
Yeah.
Right now? I'm starting to become a big fan of Allegri.
Why?
He's done great stuff. Juventus, and he moved it around like last season with the Champions League side. Obviously, they played 4-4-2 diamond, but it could switch to a 3-5-2, which is 3-6-1. There's all sorts of things. But I think, you know, I've followed Jurgen Klopp for years and years and years. It's just a shame he did go to Liverpool, for me personally, but he's a great manager. You know, this Liverpool side will come together and they will click. You know, an interesting stat over the last, since he took over as manager at Liverpool, Liverpool have won more tackles than any other team in the
78, Dave, 78.
Exactly. It's starting to come for him. And I think he'll have to, you know, there's players that are going to have to go in and come out. You know, the likes of, if Christian Benteke doesn't go on a goal scoring run, you'd probably see him being moved on. His other certain players on the side, like Lucas Leiva, I don't think he's a proper Jurgen Klopp type player. So,
although what was good about Lucas was the other night I went to go and see him live at the Bowling Ground. Liverpool lost, obviously, and you know it was probably partly his fault as he was in the back line. But he played centre back for Liverpool, and it was one of the better centre back performances I've seen a Liverpool player put in this season. So he does have his uses. I think and that sounds very sort of harsh and cold about him, but he's one of those players that you imagine they keep him around for more than just a role that he plays within the team.
A leader in the dressing room.
And he's a Brazilian.
Yeah, that's a fair shout. Yeah. Got to have your Brazilians in the dressing room. Good laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Although when AC Milan had all their Brazilians in the
dressing room, too many Brazilians.
Yeah,
spoils the broth, apparently.
Although that, yes, I is a phrase. Can you remember? I mean, if you think they had Thiago Silva, Ronaldinho, and Pato, I think on the same team. Although maybe they didn't have Thiago Silva at that time.
I think they definitely had Thiago Silva at that time because he left with sort of after Zlatan, didn't he?
He did. Yeah,
and Zlatan was in that.
I think there's a bit of crossover.
Oh, was he after that? Yeah, there was some crossover, definitely.
And then there was Robinho in that AC Milan team.
God.
Apparently they had a Brazilian corner. If you go to do the Toro San Siro, which I did with Marcus from the Football Ramble, there's a Brazilian corner they sort of made for themselves in the dressing room. Two very different dressing rooms, Inter and AC Milan. Not putting either. Maybe more on those guys later. Dave, Thaddeo says, do you guys think they're eliminating league standings in youth football? Or what do you guys think? Sorry, that was not that. I read that wrong. Dave, what do you think of eliminating standings in youth football?
Well, it's silly. I think you need competition. I think that's where you mould superstars and you mould great players from having fixed competition. The Labour government was criticised a lot for removing the competition at sort of at schools in the PE departments. Saying that everyone's a winner and that type of thing. Where when you want to breed a proper athlete, a proper, real a killer in a way that really does take his opponent and destroys him, you need that competition.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like not an actual killer, but someone that's going to smell blood and then take their opponent apart. I think if you eliminate the competition in youth football, yes, it'd be good for, potentially it'd be good for morale of some of those players, but it's the wrong environment to breed superstars, in my personal opinion.
I suppose there's a lot of different ways of breeding superstars, aren't there? You could go down the route of, look, we're all equal kind of thing, which sometimes works. And achievement is doing the best within your, within your own personal field. So, I think, again, go back to Bill Shankly. He said when he was in the army, if someone said to him, scrub the floor, he'd want his part of the floor to be the cleanest.
Mm.
And he sort of had that perspective. And I guess that's what competition's about, isn't it? It's supposed to breed a sense of perspective. So you can win and lose and you become a better person because of that is the idea, I guess.
Yeah, it's the breed that, that Kaizen approach, the continuous improvement of yourself. For example, at youth football, these players aren't rounded at all. They're rough diamonds, as put it into a sort of cliche type way.
Very like you, Dave.
They need to learn to lose. They need to learn to win. They need to, improve all their skills. So I feel that if there was, it was removed from, the competition factor was removed for it, we're going to lose a massive, massive part of a player.
But when I was a kid, I loved going to play football, but I didn't like playing competitive football because how it made the other kids act. So I didn't like that other kids would become nasty because of competition. And I think you and I grew up in the generation where it really was like there was a lot of, kind of nasty parents around. I remember some of them just said horrible, horrible things to kids who would turn up at football.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. That's a great point, that, Lawrence. It's sort of like the question was, do we remove competition at youth level? I'd say no, we keep the competition at youth level, but
it's at the parent level.
That needs to be sort of reined right in.
And that is the world puts to rights.
We've done it.
Dave's opinions on Man United's failing, in inverted commas, youth team, beating City's, in inverted commas, world-class development squad to send them 10 points clear in the league. Yeah, Dave, suck a dick.
So we're talking the under-21s. That's quite a lot of players that have been brought in from different countries and potentially that some of those players haven't come through the youth academy the whole way. The issue that we're going to see in Manchester United, it's not now that we're going to see the massive failings of it. It's going to be in a few years' time where we're massively behind Manchester City, Chelsea, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that the players will want to go to those clubs instead. The training for those clubs is going to be better. They're going to have evolved their training methodology as well. And Man United are still massively in the past. Mm. And it's, yes, okay, the development squad did beat them. But then we're looking at the likes of Will Keane, who's 23 years old. He's not a young player anymore. I remember him coming through. I was still around Manchester, I think, when he was coming through, watching the reserves. And he was a fantastic player. Really good touch, strong, physical, quite quick on the ball, could finish, up there with all the likes of Giuseppe Rossi, who I saw coming through as well earlier on. But obviously, had a nasty injury. But then, what I'm going back to the point
that's
is
that such there was a waste of good
older
talent,
players
wasn't it?
There, right? There's some like Januzaj, Pereira that are in around that squad. They're no longer youth players for me. They should be in the first team. They should be incorporated into that first team side. And I think that is a massive failing with Louis van Gaal. Is yes, okay, he's he's brought in these players and given them one or two appearances, the likes of, you know, Blackett or Paddy McNair. But it's the consistent, you've got to have the consistency of playing these players week in, week out, or they're not going to progress, right?
I guess it's a cohesive vision, isn't it? And, you know, again, I'll go back to Liverpool playing in the Cup earlier in the week. They played fantastically. You know, Liverpool had Stewart, Smith, a number of young guys out there on the pitch who performed well against a Premier League side. So it's not like these players can't compete. It's just, I think, you know, it's also that you have the right environment for them to evolve, I guess. And the right environment, how do you create that?
Big question, isn't it? It's again, it's the vision of the club that needs to be solved. Like, what do we want to produce? How do we want to produce it? And I feel that this stopgap of the under-21s at the moment, you know, if you drop back to under-18s level, Manchester United are absolutely, you know, they're doing quite poorly in the league. Mm. They're getting beaten by, you know, sides that you'd expect to be, you know, a lot lesser clubs in a way. Obviously, that's quite downgrading to the other clubs, but it's just for the size of Manchester United, they should be developing players left, right and centre at the moment. They're just not doing that in the local community. I feel that there's a bit of a gap as well. You know, we look at the Northern Division, Man United are rock bottom.
They've
played 19 games and lost 14 of them. They've conceded 43 goals and only scored 23. That's just poor. The likes of Stoke, the likes of Derby, Newcastle, West Brom, Middlesbrough, Wolves, Sunderland, Blackburn. You'd expect United to have a better standard than those, but they're not anymore.
I guess obviously that team's losing. There may be a couple of really good individuals in there. I think, who was it the other, I think Arsenal's under-16s or something, lost, under-18s or something ridiculous, lost by a huge margin. And a lot of people picked up on the match review, they lost 10-0 or whatever it was. But what the opposing side said was, we got played off the park, but they didn't score any goals. And they've got some real talent in there, like some four players who were head and shoulders above everyone else. But that doesn't mean they're always going to thrive at youth level. And it is about developing them to get to the top level. It's not about taking a whole team of 11 through. It's about picking those players out and bringing them through. Because you're not going to replace your entire 11 every season, are you? But people think if they don't play well as a team, then they're, you know, the entire squad, all of the squad is bad. And that's not true.
I think that goes down to the collective of the team then again. You know, yeah, there might be a few rough diamonds in the United team, but the league form after 19 games show that they're not collectively a very good side, which, you know, you go down to drill that down further. Okay, what's going wrong there? Are the fullbacks not good enough? Are the centre-backs not good enough? Is the goalkeeper not good enough? Is the centre midfielders not good enough? Are they at the same standard as they were before? United got absolutely smashed in the FA Youth Cup against Chelsea. I think it was 5-1 or something like that. There was players that, like Callum Gribben, that's supposed to be the next big thing, that you've seen clips of him play very, very well. But, you know, if you're getting smashed at that level, there's a big worry. There's a massive, massive worry. And I feel that the under-21s, going back to our original question, is that they're covering up the cracks that live below.
Ooh, the cracks that live below. Rock bottom!
Oh my God, it's a table!
Will clubs like Ajax, and this is from German Chicas, I don't know what that's your name, maybe it's Chichas, will clubs like Ajax and Celtic be able to win the Champions League again, Dave?
I hope so. I love the stories. That's what I love about football, is the stories. You know, you go back and the first British side to win the European Cup was Jock Steen's Celtic side that beat a very defensive-minded Inter Milan side. They smashed them with playing a 4-2-4 system.
During a time of immense corruption.
Yes, but it's nice again with Ajax, you know, bringing a load of youth players through. I think that Celtic team was, you know, everyone, every single player in that side lived around the ground. I don't know if we're going to have that anymore. I think the commercialisation of football means that sides like Ajax, like Celtic, will get dismantled before they can get to that stage again, which is quite sad.
It is interesting. I mean, I think it's Ruud Gullit who speaks a lot about his time in AC Milan when he was saying, you know, that was our lives, you know? We were allowed to go back to our wives and our kids, but they tried to keep us for as long as they could. And it was an institution, and we all believed in each other because of that. And I thought that was really interesting, the Ruud Gullit side of sort of, I know that sounds quite sort of insular, but I guess what he's saying is it's sort of, you know, can you imagine a super complex around the Emirates, Dave?
Exactly, no, you probably couldn't, in a way. But I think that's the third thing that City have done very, very well, is doing that, you know, building that complex. I think other Premier League sides have probably got to follow that, you know, the Barcelona-esque Messiah
Messiah. He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
The Youth Academy. I can't keep on getting hammered for this as well. I apologise to everyone listening. I am rubbish at saying things.
Yeah,
but I feel that's the way to go. I feel it'd be a good way to go, but no.
The point would be Ajax still has the roots of a good club, and so does Celtic. But can you imagine that? And just imagine this, Dave. Pep Guardiola going to Celtic, going to Ajax. that would genuinely make. I think that's the next stage of football: is big managers going to place and reviving a club, not just taking on a big project, but reviving something. In the same way that Klopp sort of did with Dortmund, or you know, Atletico Madrid have woken up somewhat under Simeone. So it's not impossible, is it?
No, I don't think it is. I think that's sort of the you know, these sleeping giants of European football. I think they will come round again. Mm. But it's sort of like, you know, your Partizan Belgrade. So I think that will be on a similar level, because you know, Red Star Belgrade did very, very well in Europe back in the day. Same with Partizan. And it'd be interesting to see, for example, if they were ever to come back. But you know, look at Serbian football, again, big corruption, a lot of issues with money over there, not enough money to keep people's players there. I look at Zirkovic, who's like apparently one of the best right wingers in, you know, up and coming right wingers in world football.
Yeah.
How long is he going to stay at Partizan for? I think he's already moved, but it's a sad thing. It'd be nice to see players, you know, another generation at Ajax.
Honor Sixpence says, your England 11 for the Euros. God, this is going to be boring, isn't it? Do you think Rose deserves a shout at left back? Dave, Joe Hart in goal, a back four. Who's your central two, Dave?
I'm going to go with Stones and Smalling.
Interesting. Who are your wing backs? Nathaniel Clyne.
Potentially.
Who else?
You're on the fullbacks, Loz.
Well, I'm going to go. Well, no, Dave, you're the tactical genius here.
Yeah.
What about Nathaniel Clyne? And it's such a shame Luke Shaw broke his leg.
Yeah, well, that's it. If Luke Shaw can, you know, magic himself in a month and a half, yeah, get his leg back together and whatever, and be playing football. I think the case for Ryan Bertrand could be there. To be quite honest, I think he's. Again, he's shown his importance to the Southampton side. They were quite poor when he was out injured. You know, returning to the side now, and he's been very, very good. I think.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The likes of Kieran Gibbs is probably no longer at the forefront of people's minds for football. Leighton Baines as well has probably dropped out. So yeah, potentially give it to Bertrand until the end of the season.
Interesting. Bertrand, really?
Yeah, who are the candidates we've got at left back?
Good question. Don't really know, Dave. That's the point, though, isn't it? Who would you put left back?
Well, that's it. It would have definitely been Luke Shaw, but with his horrible leg break following that pretty terrible tackle. No, going to be honest. Yeah, so I think Ryan Bertrand is the one there. You know, Kieran Gibbs. Again, we've already questioned Kieran Gibbs. And then Baines has fallen out, you'd say. So I think it's going to have to be him, to be quite honest. Or Danny Rose could be a good shout. You know,
Maybe he said Rose. Does he deserve a shout at left back? So Danny Rose is that shout. Central midfield, Dave. Give me what formation are we playing? Three?
I'm going to go with a flat four, I think.
Dave. Go on.
Ooh, right. So we're going to go with Eric Dyer holding.
I like it.
This is difficult. I'll either go for Jordan Henderson or it's James Milner?
It's got to be Jordan Henderson, Dave.
Okay, so we'll go Henderson. So we'll go Eric Dyer and Henderson as a centre two, and then they're going to be flanked by...
By. Chug. Come on.
maybe, you know, you could potentially see... Maybe we'll have Sterling on the left.
I like that. And then on the right... Jordan James Ive.
Milner. James Milner on the right. So you get that work rate in.
So you can drop into a three if you need to in midfield.
Yeah, we just want to load that up with bodies, really, and legs. Legs and bodies. And then we're going to have Ross Barkley off Harry Kane. I think, oh, no, what about... No, sorry. I'm going to have to refresh this. We're going to put Jamie Vardy on the left. Harry Kane up top.
What, Dave?
And then Sterling on the right. And then a midfield three of Milner, Henderson and Eric Dyer.
Dave.
And then where's that Dele Alli? Oh, this is so hard.
Dave,
sorry mate, I've kind of ruined it for you, haven't I?
Alright, yeah, I disagree.
Midfield, holding Eric Dyer,
yeah,
then Dele Alli, Jordan Henderson as a three,
yeah,
and then we'll have a front three of Sterling,
Dave, Hardy, Adam, Kane. Lawrence. That's a good front three right there, although we should have front two now, but you let down.
Yeah, who's our front two going to be then?
I've been taking E. The front two is probably going to be so you're not putting Rooney in.
I'm not putting Rooney in. He's been dropped.
Interesting, Dave. Interesting.
Poor chap.
Let us know your England 11s. Should Liverpool lose the Capital One Cup? Has Klopp's first season been a disappointment? No. Would MUFC be able to get Pochettino? Should they want to? Dave.
Again, sort of going back to the same thing. It depends what the club wants. I think Pochettino's shown that he's a fantastic manager. But it's whether... United want to go for the short term or the long term, to be quite honest. I think it's just one of those things that the club's got to make a decision. Do they want to try and pull Pochettino away from Tottenham? Would he want to go as well is another question. You know, the Tottenham project is absolutely flying at the moment. Obviously, if Boltwood was here, he could tell us how good it's going with the likes of Dele Alli, Eric Dyer, all these young British players coming through into the side. So, yeah, I think that if they wanted to lure him, they could do, but it's whether they want to.
Do you think they want to? Mourinho.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... I think if the rumours are that if LVG doesn't make top four, Mourinho's in. Or Mourinho might be in anyway at the end come June. But I think the thing with Mourinho, what he'll do is he'll refresh the core of the side, which I think is needed in a way with... You know, you look at the centre-halves at United. Smalling's obviously very good, but there's still no partner for Smalling at centre-back.
It's not a rotten core, is it, Dave? It just doesn't have the seeds.
Yeah, I think the seeds need to be sown, and someone like Mourinho could... So those seeds, you know, Mourinho's a massive fan of Antoine Griezmann. Antoine Griezmann at Manchester United in an attacking midfield would be amazing. And
Dave,
Antoine Griezmann's
not going anywhere.
So good.
Griezmann ain't going nowhere, Dave.
We've always got to hope and pray that, you know, your favourite players can come to the Premier League so you can admire them.
Yeah. Although he has just signed that new... hasn't he just signed a new contract at Atletico Madrid?
Yeah, a new bumper deal.
Dave, you're a movie critic. We don't have anyone else on the podcast who likes movies. Mark Anthony Bustos says, who is seeing the new Deadpool movie with Wags? Who's Wags?
I think Adam's actually seen it. So this is such a shame.
Good point.
We should heckle him. We should heckle Adam
it
right now.
It looks great. Well, Adam's not here to supply, so we can't.
Yeah,
we've
got some media now, such as Twitter.
Good point. Dave, go and tweet something abusive about Adam now from the front three account, and I'll find some more questions. If Rooney got dropped, who do you think should captain England?
Rooney got dropped, who should captain England?
Yes.
Maybe Smallinho.
Jonjo Shelvey, mate.
Jonjo Shelvey, in.
Straight in. We need a captain figure. Get Jonjo on the phone.
Jonjo, come in. Maybe Joe Hart?
Joe Hart, yeah, Joe Hart. Or Jordo. Hendo, Jordo. Jordo, Hendo. Joho. Johe. Compared to the usual suspects, how important is Robert Huth for Leicester City's campaign, Dave? That's from Soleiman. I like Soleiman.
I think there's two centre-halves are very crucial to the way that they play.
There's pairs all over the pitch, aren't there?
I think that's what that's the thing. I think the central midfield pairing or the striker pairing or Mahrez's pairing with him with Vardy is a little bit more important than Robert Huth. You know, N'Golo Kanté and Danny Drinkwater have been so, so good in the second half of the season. They've really had that, the partnership's really there. You know, they, if one goes, one sits. If, you know, it works really well at the moment. You know, credit to Robert Huth and Wes Morgan for forming something pretty solid, but they do have the weakness. You know, they do have obvious weaknesses, but they are playing, you know, Ranieri's got them playing to their strengths. Mm. So I'd say, yeah, I'd say there's more important pairings.
But that, but he's. I mean, a centre half is still a massive position.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, the two goals he scored against City, the performance against City that he gave was brilliant.
What's probably even more important about Leicester's centre halves is that they've got some of the least possession in the Premier League this season, right? So, you know, when you're playing against a team who has a lot of the possession, and you know you're willing to sort of let it go, then your centre halves become more important because of the structure of the side.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? That they're, you know, Leicester City have made more interceptions than any team in the Premier League. That's just because they've, you know, they do, like you're saying, 41% average possession. I think it's around that mark. Mm. That is really low. That'll be the lowest possession
of a champion
percentage of a champion, yeah, since the Opta records began, which was 95,
I think. About 3 years ago. Dave, Juan on Twitter says, what do you think of the possibility of playing a 60-minute game? I personally don't agree. I don't know. I mean, it's 90 minutes. I mean, football's 90 minutes for a reason, isn't it?
Yeah. I think if it's 60 minutes, that'd just be very strange, wouldn't it? I think it'd change. The athletes would have to adapt, wouldn't they? Because you'd have to give everything for 60 instead of 90. Like, it'd be like a different game, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, no, yes, it would, Dave. did you know, back when the NBA was sort of, I think it was in the 60s, they banned dunking in the college league for 10 years. And it was essentially a racist ruling, because what they were worried about was, and basically what they were saying was, there are too many good young black men in the league who are dunking on all the people who can't. So they just banned it.
That's ridiculous.
And then you graduate to the NBA and you can dunk again. It was so weird. Amazing story on, I think it was 99% Invisible. Go and listen to it. It's part of ESPN's new podcast series. Really great, guys. Great podcast. 99% Invisible. I think with Roman Mars. Really great voice. Better voice than Adam, I'm willing to say. Here we go. This one's good. From Faruha, who earlier in the week said they should swap me for Kristen on the podcast. How much do you guys agree with the Champions League away goal advantage rule? I thoroughly agree with it.
Yeah, I also agree with it as well.
I love it.
I think it adds something more to the game, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Tactically, what do you do? You know, there's so many more questions. If we'd ruled that out, I just feel that, you know, you do score three at home and the other team scores a goal away, and then you go to the reverse fixture and you score twice and they, you know, score four goals or whatever. I just feel that it's got to mean something. It really has. Playing away from home is you know, a massive disadvantage, right?
Who would you rather have in your team, Dave, from Mandar? Mahrez or last season's Hazard?
Ooh,
Hazard. Inform Mahrez or inform Hazard, Dave?
Inform Hazard, I think.
Yeah, have you seen that video where Mahrez is a bit arsey this week on YouTube with Spencer FC? He's a little bit arsey.
Right.
You've got your answer. If you're a billionaire, which club would you buy and why, Dave?
Oh, it'd be Manchester United.
No, you can't pick United. It says in brackets here, not Spurs, United, or Liverpool.
That's tough.
That one's from Pizball.
Oh, Pizball has done me. He's absolutely done me. Maybe Milan. Get them back to their glory days.
AC or Inter, Dave?
AC. There's something quite romantic about AC Milan.
I'd buy an MLS team.
Would you?
Yeah.
Ooh, actually, an investment. I'd buy a Chinese team.
Good. Although, Dave, you're going to be bleeding money for quite some time.
Doesn't matter, mate. It'll come back.
Dave Stockton wants to know, tits or ass? # I'm the hole. We won't answer that one. what is the bane of every manager's existence, says Degolazzo?
The media.
Good. Banyul, which I don't know if that's a reference to the same guy, the guy who says B at the beginning, Brian Bedondi. Clubs that have had the biggest fall from grace, e.g. NUFC, not really a question, but would be cool to have a word on a former top club. We've kind of spoken about this. Dave, I mean, NUFC haven't really fallen from grace, have they? They're still up there. You say, sleeping giants, right?
A team that has fallen from grace, you'd say, in recent years or sort of decades would be Leeds United, right? You know, right at the top, competing, getting to a Champions League semi-final, unfortunately losing to Valencia, and then now in the Championship after a bit of a stay in League One. So you'd say Leeds United are probably a club that have fallen pretty bad, pretty hard recently.
If Luis Enrique wins the treble again, Dave, someone's just liked something, so it's pushing. If Luis Enrique wins the treble again, would that make him a better manager than Guardiola?
I think so, yes. I think that, you know, back-to-back trebles or back-to-back Champions Leagues would confirm it. I do prefer this Barcelona team. I like the style of football a little bit more. It's a little bit more direct, a little bit more individual from the front three. I think that the the integration of Rakitic in the side as well really is an absolute masterclass. But they're both brilliant sides. But yeah, if he did win the treble again, then, you know, he's probably the best manager ever in the short term, you'd say, right?
AKA also says, your top four teams for the top five leagues in the world.
Top four teams?
From the top five
leagues.
So I'd go Juventus, Barcelona. Who else would I go? Atletico Madrid.
Over Real?
Right now, yeah.
That's a fair show.
And Liverpool. And that's my top four teams. Dave?
So you've missed out Bayern Munich there, Lawrence.
But, yeah, Dave, I don't really care. I don't really care, Dave.
So I'm going to go with top four right now. I'm going to go Leicester City.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Barcelona.
Ooh.
And Juventus.
Albin the Albino says, Dave, when will you admit your bullish prediction was wrong?
Never. I'm going down with it. I'm going to have it on my gravestone. I was not wrong.
Well, I mean, Dave, the thing is, you can just keep saying it until he fails. And then when he fails, you go, told you.
Beautiful. Now, I feel that it could be the start of next season where it sort of goes. You see a lot of managers that have preceded a defensive manager, sort of that come after a defensive manager, such as Moyes, then Martinez, where Martinez got a lot of the positive defensive work that Moyes had done with the side on
Dave,
his side.
Dave, come on.
Overlap. So
unfair.
I'm going to say the Sam Allardyce overlap is going to last until the end of this year.
Soliman says again, I love your question, Soliman. Isn't the fear and resentment of the Chinese League a bit Eurocentric and even hypocritical coming from fans of the BPL? Yes, Soliman.
Massively.
What I don't like is this whole week, there's obviously been the debate over ticket prices. Keep them fair. It's not difficult. There's a lot of people, there's something on the Football Ramble, the preview of the weekend, go listen to it because there's still time, where they read out a guy's letter. Excuse me, they read out a guy's letter and he basically says, economically, it makes sense that ticket prices keep going up. But what he completely discounts is that if you use basic models of anything, then you can make anything work. So if you go, well, supply and demand, isn't it? Then you can basically justify anything. You know, there's demand for guns. Well, we'll sell them then. Doesn't work that way.
Mm. Well, this is quite interesting that it's external factors, right? That they're sort of, like, for example, somebody's wage that they're not taking into consideration because they are just going down the line of we need to make more money, right? Whereas they should be taking into consideration that fans are part of this ecosystem and are a massive part of this ecosystem. Mm. Atmosphere of football makes football.
Football without authenticity is not football, essentially. I was on Green Street the other day, one of the most authentic streets. Dave, Olsen says, similar to what footballers are often asked, if you wouldn't have been podcasters, which we're not, what would you be?
I don't know. Like, so let's take this outside the box, Orange, right? So if you weren't in your life right now, so let's say
I'd be an economist,
Lawrence of 16 years old.
Yeah.
What would you have, you know, if you couldn't have taken this path?
Dave, there was a critical turning point. One of my dad's friends took me out for a drink and he said, Lawrence, You want to do? I really loved reading The Economist and loved economics in school. And I said, he said, what do you want to be? Do you really want to be an economist? And I said, I do. And he said, you could make a business where you pay other people to do your economics for you. Go out and do something that you love. And I went and did this. So I almost took another route. I almost went to Manchester and did economics, Dave.
That is a powerful message, that, Lawrence. That is a powerful message.
I'm not saying, you know, leave everything behind. Everyone has responsibility, and I've realised that as I've grown up. But what I am saying is, you know, don't just sort of let other people tell you what to do. Have some perspective. Dave, but if not, I think I'd probably just be, you know, I'd be like the number seven. You know what I mean? I'd just be I'd just be seven. Dave, what would you be?
I don't know. Like, potentially I could have gone down the route of not going to university. I probably would have gone into some sort of like accountancy or finance, which would have been really boring.
Yeah.
What's quite interesting though, I kind of like feel that I would have always fallen into this path because obviously a keen admirer of football.
Keen admirer of football.
I feel there would have always been this crossover, this sort of like, you know, fate in a way, that this was supposed to happen. We were supposed to record this today without Adam.
We were, exactly, Dave. And what else I believe is that on your gravestone, you'll have David O'Brien, keen admirer of football. It's just a good word.
Wasn't a fan of Billich.
What would Adam, not a fan of Billich. What would Adam, although maybe you will have, maybe Dave, you, Adam and I will all get buried in the same place.
As a three,
Dave. In formation, we'll be buried.
This is powerful stuff, this, Lawrence.
Dave, if you call everything powerful stuff, nothing becomes powerful. What would Adam be? A drunkard. Speaking of which, Adam has just messaged the group WhatsApp. He said, apologies, lads. Sleeping off a big night. You already recorded. To which I reply, yes, now. F off. There we go. And Dave can confirm that I did actually just type that in the group.
Yes, I've got it. I've got it through. It's
Dave,
through.
Best European player to have never played at the Euros or World Cup?
Ryan Giggs.
I think. Gareth Bale so far, but he'll be there.
Yeah. Oh, God, I can't wait for Wales, actually. They're going to be fun.
Dave, let's go. They really are. Let's go quickfire here.
Let's go.
Hanzal Abbasi says, if you had to be stranded on an island with any football personality, who would it be?
Alex Ferguson.
Dave, that is a rubbish lover.
That is a good point. Lawrence, who would you go with? I know your answer already, mate.
It would be Xabi Alonso.
Yeah, exactly.
If you could sign one player from a team you support, past or present, who would you choose? Xabi Alonso. Dave?
Carlos Tevez.
Out of all the players, Harry says, out of all the players in the Squawker 23 list, who would you want most and why? Dave, you did the video for this. Come on.
Paul Pogba, probably, just because of his, you know, he's his ability. He's number one. That's a cracking list, by the way. If you haven't checked it out,
really
jump
is.
Over to Squawker. Scroll down the homepage. 23, under 23. There's a great list. Dybala would be another player. That
Dybala is such a good one. Have you seen Pogba and Dybala playing with the ball when they're getting ready for a free kick?
Oh, it's just a joke, mate. They're so good at football. There's another great clip as well against Chievo this season where they basically do like two back heels to each other and then they just play and it's just like, wow.
And
these
then they kick,
lads.
And what I love is they kick it to each other, kick it. And then when they kick it off to another player, they're almost like, right, we've had our fun. Here you go, mate.
And then
a normal player gets it and everyone's sort of like, oh. Piotr Gala says, do you prefer zonal or man marking? Explain your reasoning. Wow, it's like an exam. I prefer zonal if the players can play it.
I prefer probably zonal on the pitch, but I probably prefer a mixture at set pieces of zonal and man-to-man.
Yeah, what you want is you want zonal with knowledgeable players and then man-to-man with less knowledgeable players.
You see, I'd completely go with one man on the front post, guy on the front post, guy on the back post, and one guy attacking that front post area, and then I go man-to-man behind that. That would be my combination. So it's not quite zone. It's probably more a man-to-man scheme than a zonal scheme at free kicks.
Dave, is this a championship-defining weekend in the BPL and Serie A?
100%, yes. Serie A is going to be brilliant. 7:45, Napoli versus Juventus. And obviously we've got the Sunday Premier League games. Firstly, Arsenal, Leicester, and then Spurs versus Manchester City. So I'm so, so excited. This is going to be such a good weekend of football.
Brian tweeted, said, just got around to listening to the front three. I wouldn't get your hopes up, Adam, about Spurs. The Foxes are probably taking it. Relevant there. Adam then tweeted himself, I prefer when people call me the British Morgan Freeman. We'd love to all write our own reviews, Adam. Farhan, we're going to finish here, Dave, says, you describe Laurent Blanc and PSG's playing style. Go.
Sideways, boring, but with some real... shebang up front
with Angel Di Maria.
Yeah, with Angel Di Maria and Zlatan up front.
That's all we have time for this week, guys. We got some lovely questions and there were some we didn't get around to answering. We're sorry, we want something that we would be interested in listening to as well, so submit your questions again and bring back some more. Go think up some more questions. We'd love to have you on the channel. Dave, if people want to go find you, where can they find you?
We're going to not do that this week, Lawrence, but we're going to go to, let's all hit Adam Boltwood with some abuse
yes.
on Twitter.
Hashtag, hashtag, I'm the asshole.
Hashtag, where is Boltwood? You know, whatever you want to do, just send him something funny. Tweet, don't follow him.
Tweet that now. Tweet that now. It's been lovely to have you guys, and we'll see you again real soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On the front three.